Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vascon Engineers Q4 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shreya Gandhi from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, friends. This is Shreya Gandhi, and I welcome the management of Vascon Engineers Limited for the Q4 FY21 results. I now hand over the call to Mr. Dr. Santosh Sundararajan for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Gandhi. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Vascon Engineers for the quarter and year ended March 31st, 2021. Joining me on the call is Mr. Rajesh Mhatre, our CEO, Real Estate, Mr. Somnath Biswas, our CFO. I believe you would have gone through the Q4 FY21 financial results and the result presentation uploaded on the stock exchanges and on the company's website. In the wake of the second wave of COVID-19, I hope you all and your families are healthy and safe. The fiscal 2021 was a challenging period for many businesses amid bold measures by the Government of India like countrywide lockdown. However, a swift recovery was experienced during the second half on account of various measures undertaken by the government. During this period, we focused more on strengthening our balance sheet by repaying the high-cost debt and de-leveraging to further improve the liquidity position of the company. We are pleased to share that during the financial year 2021, we have made a debt repayment of rupees 41 crores. With this now, our total gross debt is at 214 crores as against 255 crores as on March 20. The repayment is majorly made towards high-interest cost-bearing loans, which is reduced by rupees 33 crores to 71 crores as against 104 crores as on March 20. This will aid in bringing down our overall interest cost of the company. On the EPC front, the construction sector faced multiple headwinds, mostly in terms of labor unavailability due to COVID-19-induced disruption at the beginning of the year. Despite a challenging year, we've been able to maintain our execution momentum and efficiency, which has led to post-satisfactory top line despite the tough initial quarters. In EPC business, through our relentless focus to register month-on-month improvement in execution levels, our execution run rate has improved from 93 crores in Q2 FY21 to rupees 105 crores in Q3 and rupees 135 crores in Q4. This is our highest top line for the last 10 years. This has enabled us to cover the deficit incurred during the first half of the fiscal and has aided us in delivering a top line in line with last year. In FY21, our total income stood at 368 crores and recorded a slight decline of 4% year-on-year. During this quarter, we have received two orders from UP Public Works Department worth rupees 516 crores for establishment of new medical colleges in Bijnor and Kaushambi, UP, on a design-and-build lump sum basis. The execution period for the project is 18 months. With this, we have received orders worth rupees 584 crores, third-party orders during the financial year. The current total order book stands at 2,109 crores, which includes external EPC orders of 2,019 crores and internal orders of rupees 90 crores. This forms a healthy order book of seven times FY21 EPC revenues. Over the last 2 years, we have made conscious efforts to increase the share of government orders in our total order book. The share of government orders has improved to 85% of the total order book as compared to only 15% 2 years ago. This provides visibility of faster execution while ensuring uninterrupted cash flows. The order book of the company remains robust, providing strong visibility of EPC revenue growth for the next 2 to 3 years. We have also secured a sanction of 40 crores additional BG limits from CSB this year. In the current fiscal, our focus will be on accelerating the execution of the order book, which will lead to better capacity utilization, resulting in improved margins for EPC business. We continue to adopt a cautious approach towards bidding for new projects, and as a strategy, we will be focusing on orders with higher margins. Coming to the real estate division, as the economy gradually marches towards recovery, the residential real estate sector also started witnessing positive momentum on the back of various measures taken by the government. Pune and Mumbai markets registered a significant improvement in the second half of FY21, primarily on account of stable prices, low interest rates, reduction in stamp duty and other government sops. In FY21, we did a new sales booking of 120,613 square feet, amounting to a total sales value of ₹120 crores. The sales in our ongoing luxury project Windermere fared well this year, owing to a reduction in stamp duty in the state, and we have registered a sale of ₹78 crores in FY21 in that project. In FY21, we have made a collection of ₹150 crores in comparison to 115 crores in FY20. In the financial year 2022, our ongoing project Forest Edge Tower A and B and Vascon Good Life 3 buildings in phase 1 will achieve completion, and occupancy certificate will be issued for both the projects. Under Ind AS 115, the revenue of both these projects amounting to 90 crores will be recognized in the current fiscal, and this will lead to significant improvement in the real estate business performance in FY22, which was under pressure as the overhead cost continued to be debited to P&L while the revenue could not be recognized due to non-receipt of OC as per Ind AS 115. On new launches front, as you all are aware, we have a robust launch pipeline for the real estate project. As per current market situation, we continue to maintain a cautious stance over new launches. We are monitoring the market very closely and would opt for launching new projects only when the market is conducive. On the GMP business front, in the past, we have taken a strategic call to discontinue the service division, which has led to the underperformance of GMP segment. With our resilient effort, the GMP division has achieved an EBITDA positive during the last fiscal in spite of COVID, and the same has sustained during such a challenging period. Our GMP business is faring well. In FY21, the revenue stood at 149 crores and the EBITDA of 11 crores with a margin of 7%. At Vascon, we are focused towards sustainable improvement and achievement of marquee projects like those from Tata Group that show our ability and preparedness. We believe this margin to sustain and GMP division to further value add towards the profitability of the company. Let me take you through the financial performance. Let me start with the standalone numbers. During Q4 FY21, the company reported a total income of 135 crores as against rupees 94 crore in Q4 FY20, registering a growth of 43% year-on-year. EBITDA was at 8.8 crores with a margin of 6% and a reported net profit of 1.5 crore in Q4 FY21. On a consolidated basis, in Q4 FY21, total income grew by 50% to 192 crores as against 130 crores in Q4 FY20. EBITDA stood at 11 crores with a margin of 6% and profit after tax was at 3 crores for Q4 FY21. We would like to reiterate that with efficient execution capabilities, we strive to maintain the momentum going forward, supported by the strong order book and strong pipeline of project launches in real estate. We continue to remain committed towards strengthening our balance sheet and focus to enhance shareholders' value. With this, we can now open the floor for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Natarajan from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So my first question will be more on the order backlog that right now we have close to 21 billion order backlog. And even if we execute over the next 2.5 to 3 years, we should be in a position to do 7 billion of execution in ETC works. But I understand that we have a second wave and COVID lockdowns being more prominent. How do you see that number panning out in this fiscal? Also on, if you can touch upon the raw material price hikes, what we have witnessed, in fact, they have hardened up. How will that impact with labor availability also, you can touch upon that. And a detailed elaboration would be more, will be helpful, extremely helpful.
Yes. I'll take your first question on the impact of the second wave in this quarter. So we did 135 crores in Q4. So we were scaling up. We were, you know, on the rise in terms of our top line going up quarter on quarter. You are right. We do expect a slight hiccup in this quarter. It will not be anywhere near as bad as it was last year because construction sites have been operating through this period for the last 2 months. Labor has been available at site, even if not at full capacity. You know, the labor has been available to 70%-80%. Labor did not return back to their hometowns this time around. Material delivery was also permitted by the government. And so even though there were delays and there were, you know, certain inefficiencies, certain materials not reaching site on time, but all in all, there has never been complete stoppage of work, and therefore construction has been going on, I would say, instead of gear five at, you know, gear four maybe. There has been a problem with a lot of staff, a lot of client personnel, a lot of vendor personnel falling ill. And so every time, you know, important people who were necessary to keep the site progress on, a good proportion of them were on leave at home, recouping or on quarantine. So we did definitely, we would see some inefficiencies, but I would expect that, you know, this should not affect our run rate by more than 20%-25%. We should still be able to achieve 75% of our run rate. There is one slight, I would say, stoppage of work at Raipur, which is a stall. They've stalled the project for a couple of months. It is more of a political decision taken by the government. So our Raipur project, which was running at full speed at giving us more than about 10 crore a month, has been stalled as of 15 days ago. So that will also affect the top line for this quarter. We expect it to restart next quarter. But all the other projects on the positive side, the Goa project, airport project has received its EC, so that is starting work. Police housing project in Mumbai has got clearance to demolish the other buildings that were preventing us from going full swing. Those buildings are demolished, and so we have all fronts available. MMRCL has also all fronts available, and Pune housing is also going on at full pace. So is Bangalore. So other than Raipur, all of the projects have picked up speed, and we seem to be receiving payments, although a bit delayed due to COVID in the last 2 months. So I think the impact of the second wave will be there in the first quarter. Definitely, we will see a dip in top line. We will not see this curve rising as it was over the last 3 quarters. But we are sure that by second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter, we will catch up and, you know, overtake this year's performance by far. In terms of labor availability, as I said.
Sorry to interrupt you on that. Just to summarize,
yeah.
You are saying, let's say 700 crore may not be the top line, but there will be a 25% miss. Maybe we can do at least 500 or so kind of number in EPC business. Is that the reading right?
Yeah, I think that would be a fair assumption to make for this year.
Sure.
And to answer your other questions, in terms of labor, there have not been significant labor escalations in cost. Labor availability, as I said, this quarter has not been too much of a trouble either. Anyway, in the period of May, generally they do go back, you know, harvest period, they go back home and come back. So there's always a shortage in the period of May. So for us, coincidentally, whether it was due to second wave or due to the normal, you know, annual trip that they make back to their hometown, May is generally a shortage month in terms of labor. We are expecting that June the labor will be back in full swing and we should not have a labor issue for the year. Raw material prices, yes, steel, cement, quite a few prices have gone up. In almost 70% of the cases, we are protected by escalation clauses and we are protected by base rates in our contracts. So we are not majorly hit. Yes, there are a couple of contracts where the escalation formula does not cover the exact impact because suddenly steel prices have gone up by, you know, 25%, 30% over the last 2 months and they haven't really dropped now. So we do have an impact of these in a couple of projects where we are negotiating with the client because the escalation formula doesn't cover the actual impact on ground. But at the company level, this is not significant. As I said, bulk of the cases we have our base rates in place, so we are not affected.
So what will be the quantum of impact, if you could quantify, that will be more helpful, sir.
See, the impact is in probably 15% of our top line, and in that 15% of top line, the impact because of this would be, you know, I mean, totally our cost increase would be to the tune of maybe 2 to 3% in those projects alone. If at all we are not able to renegotiate with the client to pay us for these price hikes in this period. So at the company level, this will be much lesser than, you know, 0.5% for the full year.
17% gross margins that you regularly clock, maybe it may go down to 16%.
Correct. At best. I mean, at worst, because of all this, yeah.
And you will see a jump in EBITDA margins largely because the volume of work is anyway...
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So any guidance that you want to give on EBITDA margins?
No, I think we'll just wait for your guidance, as you said, on the top lines. Now, so as I said, there is nothing really hampering our gross profits. This raw material price increase and a little bit of inefficiency in quarter one. As you said, I mean, over the next three quarters, we will catch up. And because we will be doing a higher top line, the EBITDA will also be much better than last year. And gross profit should not really drop much. So I think I'll leave the guidance at that, you know.
Sure, sure. On GMP, what is the outlook for the next year? If you have, I mean, would we be maintaining the same 1.5 billion kind of revenue or maybe something more than that?
So GMP was again targeting to do a bit more than that. Again, COVID has impacted GMP this quarter more than it has impacted Vascon, because I think Vascon, as construction activities was allowed, work at site, and most of our projects are government projects, so none of them asked us to stop work, so things have been going fairly okay for us. But for GMP, quite a few projects have been, not been functioning during this last 1.5 months, so they have been impacted in first quarter. So while they expected to do 10-15% more top line this year, I think now the revised target would be to achieve same 150 to 160 crores next year. Because they have a good thing for them is this year they have, half their order book, more than half their order book is from overseas projects. So, and that should help them de-risk from their exposure to COVID situation in India alone.
Sure, sure. Finally, those non-based limits, I suppose you were in conversation with SBI or some other banks to raise the limits. What happened? What is the status over there?
So we are in a decent position as far as our BG limits are concerned at this point of time. So if you saw our March end results, you would see we had about 30 crore available limits with our existing sanctions from UBI and SBI. Further to that, in this first quarter, we have got a new sanction of 40 crores from PSB Bank. So as it stands today, roughly about 60 crores of available BG limits are there, based on which then we do plan for this financial year to, normally you need 1/10 of the limits of the top line that you can book, order book that you can achieve. You need 1/10 of that as BG limits. So I think if we have a 60 crore BG limit, as of now, we can look at 600-700 crore of order booking for the year, which is our target. So that is in place.
Okay. And sir, if I may squeeze in one more question, in terms of order inflows, what is exactly the outlook for this year? I understand we have a very strong order backlog. It's exceptionally multi-year visibility, but still in terms of an inflow, is there anything that we are actively looking out?
So see, the bare minimum that we want to target is that we will extinguish, as you said, we will extinguish at least 500 crore of this order book that we have in hand. So that is the bare minimum we should top up, so that end of the year, our order backlog has not reduced. We will be looking to top up a bit more, towards 700 crores, 750 crores, if not 1000 crores as our booking target for the year up to March 22. So yes, we will, we continue to bid, and we will hope to, achieve that order booking.
Anything that is L1 in stage, any particular order that you have in mind, or is it overall view that you're looking at this point in time?
Yeah, it's an overall, you see, again, last 2 months, most government, state and center have been busy grappling with COVID. So most of the tenders that were supposed to have come up this quarter have not been put up for bid. So this quarter has been a silent period in terms of being able to bid for projects and, you know, negotiations and all of that. We've hardly bid for any projects in April and May. And I don't think June will be any different. But once this COVID wave has settled, there are enough tenders that are supposed to be floated by various government departments. So we track everything. We are not necessarily picking any particular one, because when you end up picking a particular one and get aggressive on that, invariably you end up, you know, compromising on your margins. So we will be bidding for quite a few, and we will only take where, you know, we are lucky enough to get our desired margins.
Awesome. That's it from my side. Should there be any other questions, I'll get back into you. Thank you, both.
We'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arian Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, you have said there has been some impact on your top line on the guidance which you have given it for EPC business of 700 crores. So, but that impact is for this quarter only, or the quarter that will have a long-term impact? Because you have, from 700 crore EPC, you have now talked about 500 crores. So can you throw some light on this? My first question.
So, see, there are two impacts. One is only for this quarter, which is the COVID impact. I mean, we are assuming it's only for this quarter. Of course, we are assuming there's no third wave. We are assuming everything will be back to full swing next quarter. So far, it looks like our government clients have not diverted their funds, you know, which are reserved for these projects. So we have not got any indication that there will be any funding issue. The only other issue why we are, you know, talking of a slightly lower top line compared to what we probably guided earlier is that Raipur has been stalled. Now, we do not know when that Raipur project will start. We were expecting to do, you know, almost 150 crore of work in Raipur alone this year. And that project currently stands stalled for political issues. If it starts within the next 2-3 months, then yes, we could relook at a different guidance next quarter. As of now, we are in, not able to project to the year end and give. I think the 700 was for a standalone. The real estate portion would also add to EPC. So 500 EPC plus what about 100 crores coming from real estate will take us still to 600. So it's not a revision from 700 to 500. It's from 700 to 600 odd is what we are. And again, these are just projections. You know, we really don't have any mathematics to sort of be strong on these numbers. These are just guidances which might again be improved over next quarter if things go well.
So what is your outlook on real estate business?
Real estate, as we said, this year, two of our projects will get completion OC. So, see, real estate business, as always, you know, there is one thing which is the real business on ground, which is sales. That is happening and projects that are getting launched. That, and the other thing which is what comes on our balance sheet, which is to do with OC and Ind AS 115. So as far as balance sheet is concerned, this year we will get completion of Forest Edge One Tower and the first phase of Katvi Good Life project that we've been doing. So both put together should get us 80-90 crore of top line on our you know, balance sheet this year from real estate. Plus a few Windermere sales that might happen. So real estate is set to touch 100. There should be, not be a problem for that.
So Windermere, what is the current scenario? How much left is, like, what kind of inventory we are expecting to be cleaned out of sales we are expecting this year?
See, one of the biggest, what you can say, positive outcomes of this COVID has been, you know, a significant uptick as far as luxury units are concerned. In fact, we saw a huge 78 crore worth of luxury units that we sold in the last year. In fact, even during this COVID time, we have been seeing good, you know, credible site visits, you know, being done at the Windermere site, which is much more than any other site, which was again surprising. I believe this strong momentum will continue. We should be in a position to close definitely, you know, some deals in the current quarter too, you know, despite COVID restrictions as far as Windermere is concerned. So as far as the outlook is concerned, I believe, you know, we should continue with the momentum that we had caught the last year as far as Windermere is concerned.
Okay. And out of 2019 order, the external order book of 2019 crore, what is the time duration of execution?
We see all these orders are
anywhere between 24 months to 36 months. They are all going at good pace as of now. But our, as I keep saying on all our calls, you know, our experience has so far been that is now Raipur is stalled. A few months will go, you know, before it starts. So putting all these unpredictable factors, it always happens that we do about 30% of our order backlog. You know, we never achieve more than that. While if you extinguish it in 2 years, we should be doing 50%, but it never happens. So 30% of 2000 is still 700. But as I said, because of this quarters and some of these like the 500 crore new order has just come in, it takes about 6 months for orders to start also. So that's why our guideline is in that range, you know, 500 to 600 for EPC. If we are lucky, we might do a bit more. But these things will take 3 years, typically 3 to 4 years to extinguish.
On the Raipur, any receivables stuck, sir?
No, nothing. Fortunately, no receivables stuck. There's no risk at Raipur. This is, and in fact, the project being stalled is not really going to affect our bottom lines, or we are not under too much stress in those aspects. We've already written to the government and, you know, put in our claims also for the same, for their abrupt decision. They have confirmed that, you know, they will look at it at an appropriate time and we will get our claims also. It was purely a political call taken by them. So we are not worried about that affecting our bottom line, you know, or having any losses because of that decision. But the run rate of top line definitely is going to get affected.
Okay. Thank you, sir. If I have any question, I'll definitely come back. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Theo Shreda from SRDD Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand a little more about our real estate business. Is this a focus area for us, or it's a sort of a legacy set of projects that we are working our way through? I mean, given, you know, that we are present in Pune and then we are present in Coimbatore, what's the thinking? What's the view on this business? Where do you want to take this business?
So, see, you're right. Part of it is legacy. What we have in Coimbatore and Madurai is legacy of old joint ventures that we have signed. In Coimbatore, we have delivered 2 phases already. We have to deliver and finish the 3rd phase. Similarly, in Madurai, it's a long pending joint venture. Going forward, our strategy is not to get out of Pune for real estate. And the focus would be to execute, you know, small projects, niche projects in city. And we are not looking to, you know, compete with the Godrej's, where we look at 50 acre and 100 acre huge launches in the peripheries of city. We'll leave that to the other guys. Our focus would be on small prime acres in city on joint venture basis with landowner. We will not be putting our money on land. We will be focusing on our expertise, which is design, execution, sales, marketing, and brand in Pune. So real estate would focus in that direction. Last 2 years, we have been very clear this is the direction for us. We have JVs that we are in talks with in Pune, and we definitely are not talking or trying to line up anything outside Pune. So other than that, Coimbatore and Madurai, we will be focused in niche projects, profitable projects in Pune.
Great. That helps me a lot. Just as a thought, you know, real estate is, for better or for worse, a hugely mind and energy consuming kind of a line. So
right.
Why not just focus on EPC, where you're very good. You have great capacities. The opportunity is also huge. And good real estate developers, as that industry is getting more professional, are looking for high-quality EPC contractors.
Right.
So why do something that is, you know, in some senses subscale and perhaps suboptimal for you?
You're absolutely right. So I'll tell you, see, it's a good question you brought up. Let me tell you, we've been reiterating this to all our shareholders over the last 2-3 years, that we look at ourselves as an EPC company much more than a real estate company. And you know, we've been in the EPC space. Even now, 70-80% of our top line is in the EPC, and EPC is set to grow. That's a separate engine. It is run by a separate team, and you know, there's no mingling of bandwidths between real estate and EPC. So these are two separate topics. EPC, as you said, the market is there. You are right. There are developers with RERA and, you know, with organized construction coming in,
with funding of projects coming in, even the private sector is going to open up. So far, we are proud to say we are focusing on the government sector and 80% of our order backlog is government sector. But the private sector will open up soon. Good projects will come up and they will need good contractors. So we are geared up for that. We are ready for that. We are waiting for that. So EPC will grow. There's no compromise on EPC because of real estate. On the real estate side also, we are not focusing on, see, we've never been, fortunately, I would say, not been having too much free cash flow or free capital in the last 4-5 years to be purchasing land or looking at real estate as a traditional real estate business where you try to accumulate land and spend money on approvals and, you know, take it step by step. So we, for us, real estate is still glorified EPC. We bring to the table our expertise in design, build. We have an excellent brand in Pune, which has been built over, you know, 30 years. And even today, you launch a project in Pune and prime location, and it's a Vascon project. The sales happen at a premium to all other builders around us. So
that part,
you know, there's no point just ignoring or forgetting that or putting it aside. So we know what we are doing. It's glorified EPC. We are not expecting to make 50 and 100% margins like we used to a few years ago. You know, we are only looking at our focus area, which is design, execution, construction, sales, marketing. Finance and land accumulation is something which is not our expertise. So we will have partners for those. We'll either be on a joint venture with a landowner. We will bring in finance partners to fund the project. And so essentially, we will be a glorified EPC player. The margins will be better than doing EPC for someone else. And, you know, so we have an excellent brand on real estate in Pune. So there's no point in just, you know, looking at it totally negative. But we know exactly what our shortcomings are. We know where that industry is. We know what we are capable of and what we are not. And so the focus. So I would say we don't have an aggressive target on real estate that we want to achieve 500 crore and 1,000 crore next year. We go, we take projects which we like, which are good. And while EPC will continue to have an aggression to grow, real estate is, and it has always helped us to have been both sides, you know. So real estate will continue to grow at its own pace.
Sir, thank you very much. And just a point worth pondering, maybe you want to convert the real estate company into a separate subsidiary.
Yeah, we've thought of that also. We anyway function as a separate company. All our overhead costs, everything is separately divided. Everything is tracked separately. That's why in our presentation, we also give you a segment-wise analysis. So we are very clear on what is EPC and what is real estate. Just that our market cap and size today, you know, doesn't warrant us to further split the company at this point of time. Somewhere down the future, you know, maybe we will think of it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsha from Dimension Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. You mentioned about your Raipur project, which is stalled. So what kind of capital have you invested there, and have you received our dues, or is it stuck?
So, see, we have, in fact, the good thing at Raipur is that we had taken about a 10-odd crore advance, and we have executed more than almost 140, 150 crore of work so far. And that advance has been recovered by the client and our VGs have been returned. And so we really do not have a big exposure there. What we mobilized has also been more or less recovered in that sense. And in any case, our equipment that are lying at side, a few of them, you know, will we've documented the monthly cost of keeping those idle, and the client has accepted that the entire reason for stalling the project is on their side. So there is no dispute on that. It is a simple letter from them. It's a pure political call by the government in Chhattisgarh state that during this time, I think we are all aware they've been taking on the center for, you know, focusing on construction when they should be focusing on COVID. So I think in line with that, they've taken a call to stop this for a while. So they are aware it's their call, and whatever idling costs that we will accrue will be easily compensated by them. So we do not expect any issue in terms of bottom line there. But in the meantime, you know, if the top line was running at good pace, so that we will miss seeing those 10 crore plus billings happening at a single site for a while.
Sure, understandable. And just a bookkeeping question. When I look at your segmental profit and loss, this slide number 7, the total revenue there comes out to be around 531 crore, whereas the net sales which you report is somewhere around 509 crore. I would assume that difference is the internal EPC between real estate and EPC segment, right?
531 revenue, which one?
Yeah, 531 crore on slide number 7.
Segmental.
So when I add up these.
Yeah. That is because of that. Yes, you're right.
That entire is internal segment, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Varshini from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So my question is about the other expenses, and we can see that the team has worked a lot on other expenses where other expenses in the last two quarters have just hit around 9 crore compared to 31 crore in FY 2021. Just wanted to understand what has led to this reduction. And apart from this, have you identified any other areas where you see further reduction in terms of expenses in order to increase the gap between expenses and revenue?
Yes. So the other expenses, I think, had a component of provision that we had taken last year. So that's why it will look abnormally high last year. Otherwise, in general, without one-off things like high provisions that we would take, we are at a run rate of about 4 crore-5 crore per quarter on other admin expenses. We continue to keep reviewing all of these. These are all admin expenses at each city, offices, secretarial costs, audit costs, all of these. We continue to review and monitor each one of them every quarter and see wherever we can reduce. There are a lot of heads that add up to this. But we could say safely that about we stabilized at around 4 crore per quarter for these kind of expenses. So I think considering that we expect to grow over the next two quarters, we wouldn't take a target to reduce these much because, again, we will have new rentals that come up in different cities and all of that. So if we stabilize it around that number, I think that should be fine.
Okay. And just one more question about your projects in EPC business. Are you looking, in conversation for any kind of project in tier one cities of northern India like Delhi NCR?
So on EPC, as I said, on EPC, we are across the country. We are very nomadic. Wherever we get a project that makes sense, we go there. And then if we have no other work from there, we wind up and come out also. So that we've been doing across the country. We've so far not gone to the east of India. But any city in north, west, and central India and south India, we've gone, we've worked, we've come out. We will happily go again if there is an interesting project. So EPC is not, the moment it's above 100 crores, typically now we say in a city where we are not operating, if there's a project upwards of 100 crores, it's worth considering and the cost of establishing base because we do not really establish a permanent base. We establish a temporary base. As far as real estate is concerned, no. The answer is a clear no. As I said, we'll focus only in Pune.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question again. Can you share some light on the asset monetization plan? What is happening at the real estate land and the other product on the hotel investment in our hotel? We were trying to monetize. Any update on the same, sir?
No. Actually, over this quarter, no real significant update on any of the asset monetizations. I think all the low-hanging fruit we finished off in the last 2 years, we are left with the tougher ones, which you're all aware of. But no real progress. Given COVID, all the more hotel industry again
has taken a temporary blip. So no real progress on negotiations on these fronts. Hopefully next quarter we will revive talks and then you know, make something happen this year.
Any what kind of proceeds we are expecting it from the asset monetization?
Well, to be honest, there are two fronts. See, we have a TDR sale which is actually closed out and signed off, so we do expect the cash flows from that to come, and we have sales from Windermere, which is not really, you know, but we do consider that as asset monetization because it's a project with OC and there is inventory there. So with both of these, we do target to reduce our Kotak debt by half this year. The other bigger ones like Caledonia and our Aurangabad land and our Goa hotel, I really do not want to set a target. We are working on them. Again, the talks have gone slow because of COVID. Once the market revives, if we have a good opportunity to dispose, we are always working. We are always looking out to, you know, monetize these three, which will help us kill our debt faster.
Okay. And we, do we own some land in Thane also, sir?
We own a land in Thane. We own a good amount of land in Thane. About, we have 45% stake in an entity which owns 150 acres. So we own about 70 acres. But this is also not entirely contiguous land. It is there's no title issues generally as such, but it's not a contiguous piece of land, and it's in fragments. And we would need capital to sort of accumulate further. Or so we are in. We are parking that for the moment. You know, we will give it a little bit of time to just it as a as an investment, and maybe a couple of years later we will see how to liquidate it. It's a big investment. It's a huge amount of potential, you know, money and cash flow that is stuck there. But I think this is still not the opportune time to be able to encash it.
So at next 2-3 years, you are planning to monetize that asset also going forward?
Yeah, eventually it's a big, as I said, you know, 70 acres in Thane is a big holding. Since it's not entirely contiguous with road frontage, you know, it's not in a position to launch a project or to sell it off as one piece to someone or any such thing yet. We will have to work on it and then monetize it. So we do not want to commit any numbers on that or look at that to help us reduce our debt in the short term or any such thing. You know, that's a longer term bonus for us going forward.
So who won the other 55% stake in that JV?
There's an HNI from Bombay.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from me.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me opportunity. I think, you know, as long-term shareholders, the EPC business has done pretty well over the last few years. So my question to you is with particular regard to the real estate business. I would like to draw your attention. Some 4 years back, you know, there was a proposed strategic investment into the group, and there was a presentation, you know, shown that, you know, this is the trajectory which Vascon intends to hold over the long term. So, you know, from a real estate business perspective, I think in the last 4 years, there's been just two project launches of Good Life and, you know, Forest Edge. And even in the assets which we see in the balance sheet, which we're still trying for 4 years, Caledonia and others, they've taken quite a long time. So we just wanted to have your outlook. I know you covered it briefly, your outlook on real estate, but, you know, I think have we been too conservative as far as this business is concerned?
As you rightly mentioned in the latter part of your question, that we have been conservating as far as our real estate business was concerned. Yes, from 2018, if you see our previous performances in terms of value of sales, we did, you know, 180 crores, which increased to 280 crores. And post that, in fact, the previous year, we did 116 crore. And during this COVID year, we have done 120. So initially, obviously, the strategy was, you know, whatever projects were there, you know, we went ahead, we launched. Projects were very, very promising, and those were easy fruits, you know, easy to sell. We went very, very aggressive, and post that, in fact, the risk reward ratio, obviously, from the company's holistic perspective also changed. So we decided, Janet, to be more conservative. In hindsight, if you look at that strategy, it has benefited because yes, if we had too many ongoing projects and due to COVID, obviously, you know, we would have been impacted. Thankfully, you know, that conservatism, you know, definitely has benefited the company. Some of the projects which we have at hand, our project in Kharadi especially, you know, it's like a very, very hot cake. As and when we receive approvals, in fact, it will be sold, you know, very, very fast. So some of these assets are promising, you know, they will be generating, you know, significant amount of cash flows for the company. At that point of time, probably, in fact, the company would be in a better position to take decision based on the asset allocation and the risk profile which the company would like to be in. Currently, we would like to be conservative, you know, we would like to go ahead with the Coimbatore launch as and when we get those approvals, essentially because, you know, it is just an additional phase. In fact, we have done our diligence, we are confident about, you know, selling that and then focus our energies over here. So yes, you know, outlook towards overall real estate business from the company has been conservative, and we are pragmatic about it. And yes, you know, real estate, the EPC business is going strong, and it has, you know, supported well. So both the businesses are complementing decently, you know, as far as this time is concerned.
Would this be the philosophy over next, you know, in the foreseeable future, over the next 3 years, on a philosophical line of what?
Sure, the philosophy, if you want to see, you know, EPC, you know, will continue to grow, you know, the way it has grown. You know, we have, you are really stabilized that business. We have brand expertise, you know, and the DNA of the company is essentially an EPC company. For real estate, you know, as Santosh, you know, pointed out, we consider real estate more as, you know, glorified EPC rather than real estate. The way the world is, you know, panning out between haves and have-nots, you know, the more professional players, you know, will garner more and more, you know, portion of, you know, the real estate sales. We have been seeing that happening in Pune. The consolidation is happening, you know, and it will continue to happen. The biggest brands are definitely going to prosper. We definitely have a very, very strong brand, a strong image and strong ability as far as Pune market is concerned. We believe, you know, that, you know, all these factors will come into play, you know, as far as we progress, you know. But definitely there is no point, you know, being overly aggressive on that front, you know. The game of patience definitely has helped the company to grow stronger. You know, we have reduced our debt, you know, the overall, the balance sheet of the company is becoming healthy. We'll continue with the same strategy, and definitely we expect, you know, to earn rich rewards, you know, going forward.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Arun Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A couple of small questions from my side. What is the, can you, if you could throw some light that, that residential, obviously we have now too many questions on residential, it seems. So in residential, what has been the last year per square feet realization in terms of sales compared to a year before, year and year, and quarter and quarter for quarter four? If you could throw some light.
See, actually, we will come back to you, you know, with specific answer. But what happens is, it depends on the mix of your sale. Currently, you know, Windermere has accounted for a significant portion of, you know, the sales, you know, composition. So therefore, you know, suddenly you will find that your per square foot realization, I think definitely it will be in upwards of, you know, 7,000-8,000 rupees a square foot for this year. And for last year, it will be somewhere around, you know, 5,500 to 6,000. But we'll come to it. We'll get back to you on the exact number.
Okay. No, my question was actually in terms of, I'm not looking for exact number. I'm saying that whatever inventory you have sold in terms of residential in the last financial year and the last quarter compared to the previous financial year and corresponding quarter and quarter year, do you see the realization or the sales per square feet on an increment side, or it was on a slightly on a discounted side, or could be on the same? It could depend on project to project, but if you could throw some light, would be great.
Yeah. See, on the pricing front, as far as luxury is concerned, now let us take back. If you say luxury is concerned, you know, just post-COVID, definitely it was an opportunity for a lot of players, in fact, to really not care about their brands, not care about what's happening in the market, and really to do things, you know, what's right, you know, typically. So therefore, a lot of players, you know, dropped their luxury prices, and that helped, coupled with, you know, the government benefit in terms of stamp duty. So it helped to generate a momentum, and which led to, you know, a huge amount of sales happening and generating that luxury momentum. Obviously, you know, the prices again caught up, you know, more or less, you know, were at the same level. In fact, if you come to a segment which is just, you know, tad below luxury, the prices definitely have remained firm. In fact, they have only increased and not decreased. The section which is affected by COVID will be, you know, the affordable housing segment, where, you know, projects being farther, you know, in fact, to really generate that sales momentum, you know, you need to really take that customer, generate that lead, and make him visit outside the city. Travel is a problem, transport is a problem, you know, with COVID related risk. Yes, in fact, that is one particular section that has been affected, and it will continue to remain affected. But otherwise, you know, the residential sales, you know, have definitely increased. People have realized over a period of time that the importance of a larger house, the layout, you know, has really come into play. Vascon is known for, it's wonderful layouts. The way the company stresses on the design, you know, there is very, very strong stress, you know, for a design as far as Vascon is concerned. So the good projects, in fact, if you see, there was really Forest County, in fact, we just have one unit, you know, to be sold. Absolutely, you know, tremendous amount of response that we are seeing, you know, for further phases also, if it comes over there. Projects like Forest is again in Kharadi, you know, again, you know, 100% being sold. The issue is we don't have absolute inventory over there. That's for, you know, the sales numbers are definitely seeing low. If we give projects, you know, see what happens is, you know, discussing a sale of 100 crores or, you know, 150 crores, you know, it's really very, very small amount of sale, definitely, you know, for a company and a brand like Vascon, as many of you will definitely see. Couple of projects, you know, it is not difficult, you know, to do sales worth, you know, even 200, 250 to 300 crores, you know, in the current market. Hopefully, when a post, you know, launching of Kharadi, in fact, definitely there will be altogether speaking a different outlook, you know, as far as, you know, the sales are concerned. But post-COVID, you know, stronger players definitely are being stronger, you know, brands will definitely enjoy an edge, and residential sales will continue to remain strong.
Okay, that's fine. So my second question was actually slightly on this Kharadi and IT corridor. Your residential projects are essentially on the IT corridor. And we all know that that in last a little over a year or close to a year, and going forward, most of the IT companies have opted from work from home culture. So probably residential, we also know that a lot of unsold inventory is still lying and selling at a very huge discount in Pune corridor, not only in Pune corridor, but also in the IT corridors of Bangalore, part of Chennai, and also in Hyderabad. So, but it is a remarkable feat if, you know, that Kharadi, which is upcoming IT corridor, and also which is probably is a second home kind of corridor, Kharadi, which is becoming, and you have been able to sold all your units barring one. I think it is appreciable. It is quite appreciable.
In fact, it will be great if, you know, people absolutely take time and actually visit this project. The way, in fact, the projects have come up, you know, definitely why Vascon enjoys that edge over the other competitors will definitely see from the layout, you know, that has come up. You know, the prices also are at least, you know, 10 to 15% premium to what the prices we have sold in during the COVID times also. So yes, you know, it's a good feeling, and we are just waiting that when we can lay hands on you know, the next launch that would be coming in this financial year.
Okay, that's good. And my third and last question is this, slightly backed up by political decision. Hope you will be able to take it. So now, looking on to the condition of the center government, where they have absolutely wiped off from the all metros and extended metros and major markets, the only time now they have is the UP, where the election is going to go in probably Jan or Feb. So since that is a state play where center and state both are the same from a one political party, probably we can see a slew of you know, projects, EPC projects and commercial projects being getting launched, and probably with advanced payments, so that a lot of development can be seen on visible. If my assumption is right, then what are the projects you are bidding in terms of UP? Few of the projects you are in UP West, in Noida, close to NCR, but any projects, such kind of projects which you see, which our government is going to release, and therefore your action on procuring those kind of projects, because they will be necessary, will be more than 100 crores. If anything, they want to make it strong to at least get to some, you know, meaningful result of UP election.
See, normally I'll tell you, our strategy has always been the reverse. When we are close to an election, and when, you know, somebody wants to, as you say, ring a few bells pre-election, it is generally not a very good period to pick up those projects. Because the project will last 3-4 years, you know, the UP election is due early next year. And whatever project they try to announce today and make news out of, whichever the government, and we pick it up, you're right, projects will be available, they will launch a few more projects. But we would be cautious, because when the government changes, you know, a lot of these projects also come under headwinds, political pressures from the new. So you have to be lucky that the same government continues, and then you'll be fine. So we've gone through these kind of situations in Andhra Pradesh, in Tamil Nadu in the past. So generally, when an election, state election is coming up and the state government is announcing new projects, we are pretty cautious normally. Having said that, just 3-4 months ago, we picked up 500 crore in UP. Those are also partially center-funded. So we do not expect the state government to have full control on these hospital projects which we've taken, and so that's the reason why we bid and took them. So maybe, yeah, you're right, maybe there will be a lot of state government announced projects in UP, but we would not go aggressive. You know, we already have a good exposure in UP, so I think we would stay shy and look at other states as of now.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the clarity. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question again. Sir, can you throw some light on GMP, how the business is moving up there right now, and any plan to divest or any thought on the same? Second question, sir, of the real estate projects which we are booking 90 crores, what kind of cost we have booked in this particular year?
Yeah, so I'll take the first question on GMP. As I said, GMP has done about 150 crores this year. They were expecting to do a bigger top line next year, but again, this first quarter, second wave has impacted them. So they are revising their guidelines to do the same, about 150 to 160 crores. And they are hoping that, you know, they'll slightly improve their profitability this year. They have an order book of close to 200 crores, out of which almost half is overseas orders. So they have a decent, for GMP, their order book is normally, you know, 6 months to a year. They do not, unlike Vascon, which is a 3-4 year order book, they extinguish their orders within a few months. So 200 crore order book in hand is a decent number. They expect to book another couple of 100 crores over the year. So they're doing fine. They've become profitable. Again, COVID is still not letting them fly the way they should. So maybe next year they will be much better.
In terms of divestment, we will wait. We will wait for them to stabilize at an acceptable EBITDA, based on which then we can get the correct valuation for the company. So we will look at it maybe a year later. In terms of real estate, I think almost, I would say actually, a good. How much of this? What is the percentage completion of FC and you did not actually percentage completion. We're going to recognize 90 next year. His question is how much cost have already hit you. So see, there will be inventories. What happens now in real estate is the cost, construction cost for those projects have not hit the P&L. They will be inventorized till the day you recognize the sale. On that day, the entire cost will also hit you. But the cost that hit you is the marketing, sales, salaries, the running expenses at the site. No, those cannot be inventorized and those continue to hit your P&L. So to answer your question, this 90 crore of these two buildings that will come this year, their construction cost will also hit the balance sheet only this year. But their overhead costs and operational costs have been hitting us, you know, in the past year and the year before that also.
And what kind of margins are there in real estate businesses?
So see, at the gross profit level in both these projects, we have decent margins, you know, upwards of 35-40%. The issue comes, again, same thing that EPC is also at this point of time, same situation that real estate is, that at a 100 crore top line for real estate and at a 350 crore top line for EPC, we would be, you know, just making small profits break even after our overheads and admin costs and finance costs. So at gross profit level, both businesses really do not have a problem. They are having decent margins as expected in their line of business. So it is the top line, you know, that is lacking for us to see proper PBTs and EBITDAs below. So we're working on that. EPC is there this year itself. EPC will reach a level where, you know, we will see those numbers post overheads. And real estate, hopefully next year, will catch up on that too.
Sir, one more question on the real estate side. On the SBI, are we going to refinance our Windermere funding or because which was a higher cost funding was there? So any refinancing is on cards or anything happening at that level, sir?
So we have already extinguished that fund from 105 crores. We are down to 70, and we are continuously reducing that debt. So there are sales in Windermere, there is a TDR sale, as I said. So, you know, half of that we plan to extinguish over the next few months by these accruals also. And then subsequent to that, if we are left with 30-40 crores, you know, towards the end of the year, we will see if, you know, we want to refinance it or raise some other mode of finance to kill that debt.
So average cost of finance should come, average cost of debt should come this year, sir?
Sir, currently it's 14, so it should come down.
Cost of debt will come down a little bit. More than cost of debt coming down, we want the debt only to come down faster than the cost of debt, you know. Because see, we have two debts. Essentially, one is the Windermere debt and one is the EPC debt. EPC cost of debt slightly keeps coming down based on RBI guidelines and what SBI and, you know, the consortium of banks extend to us. That is already a decent rate, which is in the range of about 11. 9 point. We'll get that down. That will come down to close to 10. The high cost debt is at Windermere, which rather than, you know, try to reshuffle and bring the cost of debt down, we are focusing on trying to bring the debt itself down fast.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your valuable insight.
Thank you. As this was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Wish you all a great day, and you could please connect to Stellar IR Advisors for any other queries that you may have. I'll see you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.